The following is an audio production of Ozark Full Gospel Church and was produced on April the 29th, 2007. We would like to invite you to come and be a part of some of our exciting services here in Ozark, Missouri. Our church is located 1 mile south of Ozark on 065, that's 3081 Selma Road in Ozark, Missouri. Our office number is 417-581-4039. All of our cassette tapes and CDs are free of charge and postage paid to you. Simply write us at P.O. Box 825, Ozark, Missouri, 65721. Now, every Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, you're invited to come out for some old-fashioned Bible preaching and great gospel music. We look forward to seeing you soon. May God bless you as you listen to God's exciting word.
The world and itself, it's darkness and evil, are something that I long to leave behind. With the pleasure it gives, lasts only one season, but the life Jesus gives is a life that won't end. And it won't be long now.
Won't be long now.
Till I see my Jesus.
I see my Jesus.
And it won't be long now.
Won't be long now.
Till I'm going home.
I'm going home.
I hear the voice of the Spirit. It's the voice of rejoicing. Your Lord's coming soon, and it won't be long now. It's old flesh with its pride, its sickness and sorrow, will soon be replaced and taken away. I'll receive a new body, made to live forever. Now the victory won over death and the grave. Oh, it won't be long now.
It won't
be long now. Till
I see my Jesus.
And it won't be long now.
It won't be long now.
Till I'm going. The Spirit.
Voice of Spirit,
it's a voice of rejoicing. Your Lord's coming soon, and I won't be long now. I'm going to a city that has walls made of jasper, where the gates are all pearl and the streets are pure gold. There's a river of life flows right by my mansion, and it guides me up to my God. Oh, it won't be long now.
Oh, won't be long now.
Till I see my Jesus.
I see my Jesus.
And it won't be long now.
Oh, won't be long now.
Till I'm going home.
I'm going home.
Hear the voice of the Spirit.
Voice of Spirit.
It's the voice of rejoicing. Your Lord's coming soon. Come and serve, and it won't be long now.
Bibles, open them up, please, to the heartbeat of the Bible, John 3:16. And just almost hear the throb of God. He loves you. Amen. I said He loves you. He loves you very much. Praise the Lord. And He so loves you. It isn't just a feeling He has. It is a obsession that He has. He loves you. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. One verse this morning. 3:16. Join with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, God knows just how to get under our skin and deeper than that into our heart. And He wants to do that today. Praise God. Have you ever got in trouble? Have you ever got caught? I want you to turn to that one you beside and tell them the title of the message. You're busted. Amen. Turn and tell them the title of the message. You are busted. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You are busted. A few years ago, I was pastoring in the state of Nevada, and the parsonage was pretty close to the church. And BJ and Joshua were just very young boys at that time. Now they're grown men. But I remember as I came out of the parsonage to go to the church, I come up on Joshua and BJ, and there they were, sitting down on the sidewalk, gravel and dirt everywhere, all over the sidewalk, all over them. And as I walked around the corner, BJ looks up and he catches me in his eye. Little Joshua's just a little fella. He looks up and both of them have these chocolate brown eyes. They look up at me and they say in unison, "Uh-oh, here comes trouble." And they were caught. I mean, they were busted. And they considered that Dad was trouble at that point. Amen. I don't know what they'd have said if their mother would have came around the corner. If I'd been worse than trouble. My mom, my mother, was a master at figuring out which one of the children was guilty. There was 9 boys and 2 girls in our family. And we would do something, and usually it wasn't me. It was usually one of the other brothers or sisters. I happened to be the angelic host among that household. And if the Lord loved liars, He'd hug me to death right now. But anyway, she could figure it out. I mean, my mother had the wisdom of Solomon. You know the story of Solomon, how 2 harlots had a baby, both of them each had a baby, and as they were newborns, one of the harlots in the night rolled over on her baby and smothered it, crushed it. The baby died. And during the night, she switched the living baby and the dead baby. And this harlot claimed this living baby as her own, that she had killed hers. The next morning, they awoke, and the mother of the living child noticed that the child was dead. And she, after examining it, she realized that it was not her child. It was the child, the baby of the other lady that was living in the same house with her. So they couldn't decide. They couldn't figure out whose baby it was because one was lying and the other one, of course, wasn't. And the 2 harlots comes in before Solomon, and Solomon's going to decide who gets the baby. And the harlot said to Solomon, one of the harlots said, "While I was sleeping, this woman rolled over on her baby, crushed it, killed it. She woke up in the night, switched babies, and she gave me the dead baby. It's not my baby." And they began to fight, converse back and forth of whose baby it was. So Solomon calls a servant and says, "Bring me the sword." And I can just visualize Solomon taking the baby with one hand and one of the legs. And he pulls the sword out and he says, "We'll cut the baby in half And we'll give half of the baby to one lady and the other half to the other mother. That'll settle the problem. And the mother, who was the real mother of the baby, said, oh, please don't. She pleaded for the life of the baby and said, here, give the baby to the woman. Just don't kill my baby. And Solomon knew then that the mother was the one that would do anything to keep her child alive. And he knew exactly who was lying and who was really the mother of the baby. My mother had the wisdom of Solomon. One of the things that we would do is we as children would cover each other up. We'd cover the tracks of each other. If we wouldn't admit that we did something, I remember one time I kicked a hole in the wall playing and just put my foot to the wall, and she wanted to know who put their foot to the wall. So she lines us all up, you know. And she said, okay, who? And no one would admit it. No one, and I sure wasn't going to admit it. And she says, who did it? And no one would brat. No one would tell on me. And I wasn't going to tell on me. And my mother had a way of looking at you eyeball to eyeball and know that if you were telling the truth. But I got pretty good at it about trying to cover it up. And in this instance, she lined us up and she said, now look, if you don't tell me who did it, I'm going to spank all of you. Now, all the time she's asking, who did it? I'm pointing at Tim, and Tim's pointing at Mary, and Mary's pointing back at me, and, you know, there it goes. And she said, if you don't tell me who did it, I'm going to spank all of you. And I said, that's good. You go right ahead, Mama. That's what we need to do. How many of you know the wisdom of Solomon just came out? And she came into me like waspers, amen. She nailed me. It's amazing how awesome and incredible and terrifying our God is. And I use the word terrifying because He's a holy God. But yet He goes from terrifying to loving and compassionate. In this John 3:16, we see loving, compassionate, consuming love for the world. But yet we also see the consuming wrath of God, because it says they should not perish. And there's a whole world that's going to perish without the wonderful redemption plan of Jesus Christ. And this world is bound and stooped in iniquity. To put it quite bluntly, this world is busted. We're busted. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. But I want to say that little word so covers a vast, vast boundaries and covers a large scope of multitude of people. And I begin to say, first of all, this world is busted. This world is so sinful. If you don't realize, or if you haven't noticed that this world is so sinful. I was studying the account of the flood with Noah and the ark. And one day, it said in that chapter, around the 6th and 7th chapter, it talks about the flood. And God said that the imagination of man's heart, his thoughts were continually wicked. One morning, I went to the post office and I pulled up to the parking spot, turned the ignition off, getting ready to go in to do some mailings. And the Lord told me, He said, just be still. Don't move. And I sensed the awesome presence of God just come over me. And just like there was a hush, He said, I want to show you something. And this was a very busy post office, and so I began to watch the people go in and out. And 99% of all the faces were sad, angry, and chorted. Worry and fear was upon their faces. It was in the summer, so I rolled the window down and I just observed. And I listened to every other word coming out of people's mouths was using God's name in vain. Curse words and filth. I watched ladies pass by and men looking and undressing them with their adulterous and lustful eyes. And the Holy Spirit quickened my heart and said, see there, as the days of Noah were, that every imagination of men's heart, his mind, continuously wicked. And he said, that's why I destroyed the world with the flood. Folks, we're there. We're there. This world is plunged into wickedness, and it is so busted. People can tell you that they are ready to go to heaven, but unless they live this book, they're not. People can tell you how they have a relationship with Christ, but unless they have a holy presence of the Lord inhabiting their body, soul, and spirit, they don't know Jesus. They just know religion. And I'm convinced that John 3:16 many times is a cover up for those who want to say God loves me. Therefore, anything I say or do is not going to be accountable. But I'm here to tell you God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And the wrath of God was poured out upon His only begotten Son. That if we would believe in Him, we should not perish. 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 Why? Because the wrath of God is poured out upon this world. And without the wonderful name of Jesus, we'll not make heaven our home. This world is busted using God's name in vain. This world is so sinful. In Romans chapter 3, there is kind of an autopsy given of a dead world. In chapter 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. World, you're busted. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this room, we're busted. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need a Savior. As never before, there needs to be more preaching about the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And you get the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. My goodness. Children shall be disobedient, unthankful in the last days, Paul said. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And these 10 are linked together as Jesus began to make them even more deeply and more powerfully. As he said, it has been said, if you look upon a get with a woman, you've committed adultery. But he said, I say unto you, if you look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. It has been said, thou shalt not kill. But if you look upon your brother with hate, or if you call him a fool, you're in danger of hellfire and you're guilty of murder. See, God's not just interested in the exterior. He wants to know what's going on inside your heart. And more than that, He wants you to know what's going on inside of your mind and heart. The thou shalt nots need to be preached hard. Because that all the world needs to be found guilty. Let me say this, and I want to say it quickly, because I've done enough door knocking. I've done enough evangelism. I've done enough witnessing in the United States of America to know that most people think that their sin's okay because it's covered with John 3:16. It's covered because God loves them. Most people in this world think they're going to make it. After all, nobody's perfect anyway. It doesn't matter. It's okay. But I'm here to tell you, it does matter. And the commandments of God are sure, steadfast, and these commandments are given unto us so that every mouth should be stopped and everybody found guilty before God. You know why there's not much conviction in churches across America today? Because there's not much thou shalt not being preached. There's not much sin, preaching on sin and talking about disobedience to God. It's all raw, 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 cotton candy, everything nice, sugar-coated preaching and raw, raw. And I'm for humor. I'm for excitement. I'm for having fun. I'm for rejoicing and praising God. But I'm more for old-fashioned repentance in the altar, getting one's heart right with God. I was reading those Ten Commandments a moment ago, and suddenly when I read that scripture, thou shalt honor the Lord, or honor your mother and father. You're to honor your mother and father. I suddenly remembered what Terry mentioned concerning April. April works at the nursing home. And April, many a time she sat at the bedside of a dying old agent, woman or man. No family. They don't care. Mom and dad stuck in a nursing home to die. No one cares. That's not always the case. Not always what happens. But Terry told me that you'd be surprised. April sitting there because she don't want them to die alone. And yet these mothers or these fathers have children. And they're busy doing their thing, busy going their places, and let their own mother die alone. Let their own father die alone. Thank God for April that'll sit beside the bedside of someone going into the next world. No one should ever have to die alone. By the way, nobody ever dies alone anyway, but no one should ever have to die alone in a physical, tangible sense of a person that loves them to sit by their bedside and send the farewell out. And I'm glad that April takes the time to sit by the bedside as someone. But it grieves my heart that parents, that children would put their parents in a nursing home, go on about their merry way, and just wait for them to die so they can shove them in a crematory to cremate them, or shove them in a box somewhere so that they can fight a few days later about what mom and dad has. You're to honor your mother and father. Hello. Paul said to Timothy, one of the last signs in the last day, perilous times shall come. He said one of the things will be children will be disobedient to their parents. To become unthankful, unholy. The list goes on. I'm not trying to give you a bummer this morning, but I want you to know you're busted. This world is busted. God knows this world needs forgiveness. God knows this world needs salvation in their soul. And God said there's none that seeks after God. There's none that's righteous, no, not one. The poison of asp is under their lips. He said their throat is like an open sepulcher. With their mouth they have deceits. There's no fear of God before their eye. They're not afraid of God. People are not afraid of God anymore. People are not afraid of God anymore. Literally, people are not afraid of God anymore. He said, but that means just to reverence the Lord. Wait a minute. Jesus Christ said, fear not them that can destroy the body, kill the body. He said, I'll forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him that has the power to kill the body and cast thy soul into hell. Let me tell you something. We need some old-fashioned dread and fear of a holy God. This world is busted. They can smoke their pot, drink their liquor, live their sin, walk in their adulteries, shacked together in homes not being married, live in their fornication, live in their iniquity, and I want to say they're busted. And if the preacher won't bust them, God will bust them. And we need to let folks know that God is serious about sin, and it sin, the wages of sin is death. Aren't you glad we're born again? Amen. Aren't you glad we're born again? Praise the Lord. But this world is busted. It's breaking all the Ten Commandments and more. This world is into sin and iniquity. It's full of adultery and fornication and lust and lasciviousness. This world is full of covetousness. This world is busted. It is so sinful. If you don't believe that, just pull into a parking lot, roll down your window and listen. This world is so sinful. If you don't believe that, just look around when you're out in public and just listen. Just look. This world is so sinful. It's so sinful that when the weather gets good, good Christian men are going to have to learn to turn their eyes because the women won't dress right. Got to where any more young girls are looking the men over. That's sad. Sad. Eyes full of adultery. This world is so lost. And the only thing that's going to get people saved is to bring the message of Christ to them. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The world is so lost. You say, how lost is it? It's so lost that it's going to take a supernatural move of God to change their life. They're going to have to be born again. The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sin before we're saved. Think back before you were saved. You weren't looking for God. If you were, you were under conviction. Think back before you were under conviction. Think back before you were saved. You didn't understand God. You didn't understand who Jesus was. You were as blind as you could be. You didn't have a desire to live for God. You say, preacher, yes, I did. You're going to dispute Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. Let me tell you something. Before I was saved, I wasn't seeking God. When I got under conviction, I did. But not until a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost came on my life can anyone be saved. And one of the things God deals with me over and over again as a preacher, as a pastor of this church, one of the things God deals with me over and over again, he said, God says to me, watch out. Make sure people feel the pricking of the conviction when they come to an altar. Make sure they know that they're what they're in the altar for. Make sure that they receive the voice of God, that they need Christ, that they have an understanding of who Christ is. Because listen, you can come to an altar, and if you don't mean it, it's not going to do anything for you. You can go to a baptistry, and if you don't mean it, it's not going to do anything for you. You can come to church, and if you don't mean it, it's not going to do a thing for you. But when the Spirit of God comes on your heart, convicts your soul, God will move in a sovereign way and change your life. And there's some folks I believe in just about every meeting we have that need to be born again. They need the convicting power of God to touch their life and change their life. Because this world is so lost. So lost, it's going to hell. So lost, it can't see God. So lost, it can't find God. So lost, it doesn't want God. So lost, it's walking in a sin. So lost, it's not ready to turn their lives over to God. This world is so lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. But God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Not only is this world so lost, but this world is so miserable. Have you looked at people's faces? Have you watched them? Have you seen the misery that's in people's lives? This world is miserable. This world is unhappy. One of the things I hear over and over again, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, is they'll say to me, "Pastor, I'm not happy. I'm not happy." That's a picture of a person that's either never been saved or a person out of the will of God. Now, I'm preaching better than you're responding this morning. The world is so miserable. You say, you got Bible for that? Romans 3, 6, 16 and 17. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. How many know this world don't know the way of peace? Not only is this world miserable, but this world is so helpless. We're helpless without God. I said, we're helpless without God. It took God's power to change my life. How about you? I mean, it took the power of God to take the liquor out of my hands and put a Bible in it. It took the power of God to take the filth out of my mouth and put a holy presence of God in my heart. The world is helpless without Jesus. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Listen, it takes the blood of Jesus to save us from the wrath. It takes the goodness of God to save us from the wrath. How many of you in this room saved? Born again. No, you're born again. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Listen, doesn't it feel good to know you're going to live forever? Don't you feel good to know that God has saved you from your sin? You know why you're born again this morning? You want to know why you could raise your hand and say, I'm born again? Because one day the Holy Ghost came on you and you got busted. You got caught. And God dealt with you. This world's so condemned. John 3, verse 18 through 21. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Hear me. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. Now let me say this right now. This world is condemned because it's not believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This world's condemned. Condemnation. Sin has condemned this world. Sin has come upon this world, and because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, and condemnation has come. And the Bible says that men that love darkness, love evil, men that are not right with God, men that love evil, they hate the light. Men that want to live in sin, they hate the light. Let me tell you something. There's a big old spotlight comes on at Ozark Full Gospel Church from the Sunday school class all the way to the closing prayer. There's a spotlight comes on. We burn a hole through you with the light of God, and every time we come to church, you can't sit there and not squirm if something in your life's not right with God. I've had a lot of people come to me after service, not here recently, but when we were down on the square and when we first came in, they'd come up to me in the foyer and say, "You know what? I'm too uncomfortable in your church." You know what they were saying? I'm busted. Every time I come to church, I get busted. How many know that every time people come to church and they get busted, it ain't going to take long. They're either going to get in or get out. They're either gonna come to this altar, crawl to this altar for the low down sinful person they are, and ask Jesus Christ to save them, or they're gonna go out the door and they're gonna run to the darkness, to run back into the darkness, so they'll feel more peaceful about their iniquity. Let me tell you, they love darkness rather than light. I love preaching. I love church. I love coming to the house of God. I love hearing the Word of God. I love reading the Bible. I love it because I know that when the light shined on my life, if I see something that needs fixed, I want it fixed. I'm not trying to avoid God so I can keep my sin. I'm not trying to avoid prayer so I can keep my sin. I want God to help me. Every time I open up the Bible, I want God to say, "You're busted, boy." Hello. This world's so condemned. This world is also so dead. Now, this world thinks they're alive. They'll dance on barroom tables. They'll smoke their pot. They'll go through their iniquity. And they think they're alive. But the Bible says they're dead. How many of you know the Bible says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth? That word dead is to be deadened. That statement is to be deadened. How many ever had a tooth pulled out? What do? They deaden your mouth. Amen? I mean, you go to that dentist and you're thinking, "I hate dentists. I hate dentists. I hate dentists." Well, I don't hate dentists. I just hate what they do. And you're going in there and they're going to put that needle in your mouth. Well, you got two choices. He puts the needle in, numbs your mouth, or he just pulls it out unnumbed. Which one you want? Needle, yes. You get a tooth pulled, get something done to your mouth, and they put a little Novocaine, they put some numbing in there, and you're so afraid, you go in there, you're trembling all over, you sit down there in the dentist chair. There's more prayers to God from dentist chairs than anywhere in the world. And they're praying to God, and once they get that number in there, why, shoot, they wouldn't care if you yanked your nose off and your whole mouth out. You can't feel it. Well, that's what it means to be dead in sin, numb to what God is saying. Hello? This world is so dead, numb. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Ephesians 5:14. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, despite what some people think, leprosy was a physical sickness, yes. Leprosy was a sickness that would come upon the body. The body would rot. Despite what some people would think, it's a physical sickness, but it was a type, a picture of sin in the Old Testament. And God said when they got leprosy, they were to stay outside the camp. They were not allowed to come in the camp. Why? Because they were not allowed to touch the leper. They were not allowed to make contact with leper because God chose that sickness to be a type of sin. Doesn't mean that leprosy itself is sin, but it was a type of it. And the reason it was a type of it is leprosy attacks the nerves of the body. And when leprosy attacks the nerves of the body, it deadens the body. And the nose rots off. And the ear rots off. And the feet rot off. And the toes rot off. That's what leprosy is. You're decomposing while you're walking. You're a decomposing individual while you're walking. Leprosy's eating your body up. And one thing about leprosy, this kind in Leviticus 13 and 14, was the type in which you couldn't feel your body because the nerves would rot, the nerves would be deadened. It was a type, a picture of sin. And true accounts, rats would come up to the leprous person while they're laying on the ground. And rats in the night while the leper is sleeping would literally eat fingers off of hands. The rats would eat nose off their face, eat the ears off of their, and they wouldn't know that they were being eaten alive. Why? Because they couldn't feel it. And God said that's what sin does. It deadens you to the point that you don't know that the rats of wrath and the rats of judgment are eating you alive. And this world is so deadened. You say, preacher, you're being too graphic. You're being too hard. Let me tell you something. You can't get more graphic than their throat is an open sepulcher. Come on, folks. You can't get more graphic than that. You know what they put in a sepulcher? They put dead things. And if it's open, you know what happens. The smell comes out. This world is so dead. How many of you know this world stinks? And we need to let the world know that it's busted. Now, it's not busted for bad. It's busted for good. The whole purpose for bringing this to humanity's attention is so God can save their soul. So that God can rescue them from their sin. Because God so loved the world. I say, God so loved the world. You know what? I was without God. Going on 30 years ago, I was saved at age 23. It's in 78 on a cold January night, 15th of January, 1978. And I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about God. But God woke me up. God come to me. And every other word was a curse word. Every other word was using God's name in vain. Every other thought was wicked. And I was a drunkard. I was full of sin. Without God. And God woke me up. He convicted me. And God said to me, "You're busted." Now, he didn't say use those words, but that's what happened to me. I was busted. And I knew that I needed God. And I spent 3 weeks of doing nothing but crying, sobbing, pleading. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was sick. I would almost to the place of vomit. I could not eat. I could not sleep. I needed God. 3 weeks passed by. I'm on my face crying out to God. Everywhere I went, I'd hit an altar. I begged God. I read the scripture. I cried out to God. Couldn't get peace in my soul. It took 3 weeks of nothing but conviction to grip my soul until I came to the place where I realized that I truly was busted. I truly was bankrupt. And I couldn't be saved without a sovereign God, an almighty God, to save my soul. And I needed God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And today I have everlasting life because God brought salvation to my life. I preached my first revival 6 weeks after I was saved. You say, did God call you to preach? I don't know. When I got saved, I just started preaching, never has stopped. So, well, then you're not called. I think you'll forgive me when I get to heaven. You know, there's just some things that come natural, supernatural even, when God moves in your life. And how many in this room know that God needs to just reach down, and he needs to just open and expose the sepulcher, open and expose the tombs of people, and show them that there's only one way out of this world, only one way up to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The world is so loved. 1 John 4, verse 9 through 11. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Now, you know the story in the Gospel of John, chapter 8 it is, where Jesus Christ is teaching in the temple. And the Bible says that the scribes and the Pharisees bring a woman caught in adultery, caught in the very act. And they bring this woman and throw her down before Jesus. And these scribes and Pharisees say to Jesus, the law of Moses commands that she should be stoned. She was caught in adultery in the very act. And Jesus just stooped down and began to write on the ground. They kept asking, what do you say, Master? What do you say? Moses says she's to die. We caught her in the act of adultery. She's busted. We got her. She's busted. And they kept saying, Jesus, what are you going to do? Jesus writing on the ground. Finally, Jesus stands up and says, he that is among you without sin, let him first cast the first stone at her. And he stoops back down to the ground and begins to write again. And one by one, beginning at the eldest to the least, one by one, their conscience pricked them because they knew they were busted. And they turned around and walked away. One by one, they walked away because they were busted. They brought this woman to Jesus and said, she's busted. We caught her in the act of adultery, the very act. What do you say? Moses says she's to die. What do you say, Jesus? And Jesus says, yeah, you got her busted. Just wait a minute. He stands up and says, ye that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. And they begin to think and they say, uh-oh. We're busted now. And one by one, they walk away because they're busted. And they're all gone. And Jesus stands back up and he says, woman, where are thine accusers? Are there none here? She said, none, Lord. And Jesus Christ said, go. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now you say, preacher, he didn't bust her. Yeah, he did. He busted through the scribes and Pharisees. She was busted. Oh, they busted her because they wanted their own thing done. But God had busted her. She was caught. So Jesus says, well, while we're doing some busting, let me bust you guys. You know, Jesus says, we got one duck in the puddle. Let's get them all. Yeah, she's busted. She's busted. She should die according to the law of Moses. That's true. Jesus said that wasn't true. Jesus knew that was true. But he said, well, while we're in the condemnation business, let's just take care of everybody. And so one by one, they walked away. They were all busted. They were all convicted of their sin. You say, well, Jesus let that woman get away with it. No, he didn't. She got busted. She repented of her sin. Jesus dealt with the sin right there. She almost died. You say, well, Jesus said it was okay. She could go on. Listen, if you were just that far from being stoned to death, don't you think you'd draw nigh to God? Come on, folks. She was just right there at execution. And Jesus rescued her. If that isn't salvation, I don't know what is. If that isn't repentance, I don't know what is. He said, I don't condemn you. I'll take your condemnation. I'll take your pain. I'll take your shame. I'll take your sin to the cross. I'll die on the cross for your sin. I'll shed my blood for your wickedness. I'll die for the sin of the world. I'll give my soul a ransom for your soul. I'll die. I'll be put in a grave. And in 3 days and 3 nights up from the grave, I will arise as a resurrected sovereign God of the universe, the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Aren't you glad today that even though Jesus gets us, he gets us for good too. He saves us and washes us in his precious blood. I'm born again. Woo! I'm born again. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I'm going to heaven! I'm saved! The old dirty, rotten outfit, Terry Wilkins says, ain't going to get me. Terry Wilkins says, that dirty, rotten outfit, I didn't know that was the name of the devil till I met Terry. I didn't know that that was his full name. Three names. Dirty, rotten, outfit. I didn't know that the devil was in such IQ poverty until I met Doc. Doc always says, stupid devil. Something don't go right. Doc's a stupid devil. The machine breaks down. We're doing CDs and he's a stupid devil. Some CDs fall off in the floor. He's a stupid devil. The devil's standing over in the corner saying, "Don't blame me. You dropped them." Well, he is a stupid devil. He say, "But he's wise." I know he's intelligent, but he's insane too. You go right ahead and you just call him stupid devil. That's fine with me. Terry, you just keep on calling him dirty rotten outfit. That's okay with me. But when you get saved, born again, that dirty rotten outfit can't get you. When you get saved and born again, and when I got saved, gave my heart to Jesus, you know, the devil tries to keep lost people. But when Jesus comes and convicts you and saves you, and you're busted by the law of God, and Jesus saves you, and you're busted by the love of God, you're busted by the presence of God, and the power of God flows through your life, and you're saved unbelievably with power, and the joy of the Lord floods your soul, you're saved on your way to heaven. You know what happens? The devil turns around and looks in the mirror and says, "Stupid devil. Nothing would do you but to push him too far." How many would agree with me this morning? Had the devil pushed you too far that it blew up in his face? Yeah. It's so wonderful to know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. But if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. If God hasn't touched your life, you haven't dealt with your sin. If you're sitting there saying, "Well, I don't like this sermon, I'm a pretty good guy," you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Everybody in this room knows we're busted. In fact, everybody in this room deserves, listen to me, if this ruffles your feather, if you feel like a cat's turned the wrong way and I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way, then you need to get saved. Here's about what I'm going to say. Everybody in this room deserves to go to hell. Now, if that ruffles your feathers, if that turns your stomach, that says, that's just not right. You need to get born again. You ain't really seeing yourself for what you really are. We're born again by the Spirit of God. And the Lord has dealt with me more and more over the last few years. He said, "Preach a lot about the resurrection." Have you noticed that your pastor here at Ozark Full Gospel Church preaches a lot about the resurrection? Have you noticed that? How many of you notice that I just talk a lot? In fact, a sermon never passes by that I don't talk about the resurrection. You want to know why? Because without the resurrection, all of our hope would be gone. This Bible is useless without the resurrection. This church building is useless without the resurrection. All of our hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ got up from the grave. Everything he said is backed by the fact that he arose from the grave. Aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? Aren't you glad he's a risen Son of God? He died for our sin, was buried in the tomb, and he rose again from the grave. And on that third day, and I love it, Jesus just said to him, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Destroy this temple in 3 days I'll raise it up. They said, "What do you mean destroy this temple? It took 46 years to build this temple and here you are, destroy this temple." And he says, "No, he ain't talking about the temple, the building, the concrete, the rocks, the material to build the temple. He wasn't talking about that. He talked about his body. He said, destroy this temple, destroy this body." And he said, "In 3 days I'll raise it up again." And he did. Go ahead, beat my head with the thorns. Go ahead, beat my head with a reed. Go ahead, scourge my skin from off my back. Go ahead, beat me till my body looks like hamburger and you can't tell the difference between an animal or a human being. My vestige is so marked. Go ahead, put the nails through my hands. Put the nails through my feet. Go ahead, thrust that sword into my side. Let water and blood gush out from a busted heart. Go ahead, spit upon me. Tear my flesh. Beat me. Let my body be torn and let my skin be torn from the cross of Calvary. Go ahead, take me. Wrap me up in embalming garments. Take me into with the spices. Put me in the tomb. Go ahead, tear this body down. Destroy this body. Go ahead, devil. Give it your best. best shot. Go ahead, devil. Make sure I'm good and dead. Go ahead, death. Make sure you tore me down all the way. Go ahead, devil. Take your best shot. Take your best tool. Come at me, devil. Go ahead, bring your death. And in three days, up from the grave, this old riddled body will come up out of the grave, resurrected by the power of God. In 3 days, my body will rise. Now that's the power of the gospel. And Jesus looked outside that empty tomb and looked at the devil and said, "Dirty, rotten outfit." And Jesus looked at the devil in his glorified body and said, "Stupid devil." Hello. And Jesus looks at the devil and says, "You're busted." Isn't that good? And I believe the devil sometimes, even after a great Holy Ghost move of God, we've seen some good ones in this church, haven't we? I believe the devil, at the end of the day, after we have a great move of God, he says, "Stupid devil." Anybody in here ever called yourself stupid? You done something to dumb, you just called yourself stupid? You know, it's one thing for someone to call you stupid. Well, that's fighting words. Chuck called me stupid. I mean, I'm going to hurt him bad. If somebody calls you stupid, you don't like that, do you? But it's okay if you call yourself stupid. I've changed my mind. I'm going to let Leonard take care of you. I think I said last Sunday, somebody said, big people can't, you know, you're so big you can't fight. And you can't whip, they move too slow. And I said, fine, I'll just whip you slowly. But anyway, that's what I was always afraid of. If I trip and fall, Chuck will get me and he'll whip me slowly. But anyway. But we have an awesome God. God cares about us. And we are busted. I'm a sinner. Now I'm born again. Now I'm a child of God. And now I'm righteous. It's the righteousness of God. You say, preacher, are you still a sinner? I don't live in sin. I don't practice sin. But there's the ability of every human being in this building to sin. And I'm glad that we've got a Savior. Now the question is, are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know you've been busted? You say, what do you mean by busted? I mean, do you know that there was conviction coming in your life that nothing mattered but you had to have God? Nothing mattered but you had to have the forgiveness of God. That's conviction. Conviction takes over and nothing matters but that you know that you've dealt with your sin and you know that you're going to heaven. If you haven't reached that place in your life, you've never experienced real conviction. Because real conviction takes you out of the world, takes you out of everything around you, and says, now what are you going to do? You stand before a holy God, and you've got to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Anything outside of that's not real conviction. You notice if a mother loses a child, the child wanders off, child gets lost. The child wanders into the woods, gets away. How many of you know when the child's lost, nothing matters to that mama but that child? The world stops until that child is found. Right? And when Jesus was lost in the temple and Mary went away for a day, lost him for three, sought him for 3 days. How many know that Mary, nothing mattered but to find Jesus. Nothing mattered in the world but to find Jesus. That's a perfect picture of conviction. When conviction comes to your life, nothing matters. Your job don't matter. Your money doesn't matter. Your home doesn't matter. Your friends doesn't matter. Nothing matters until you know that you've found Jesus in your life. Nothing matters until you know that you're saved. That's conviction. And if you haven't experienced that, you don't have it. You've got to want it. You've got to need it. You've got to call out for it. And I'm convinced that too many people have got the wrong counterfeit of salvation. And they got to know they're saved. You say, you trying to preach me lost? No. If you're saved, I can't preach you lost anyway. We need to make sure that we're born again. Altar's open. Stand with me, please. We'll get someone to come and bring a song. I want to invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar. If you've never been saved, I want you to come and ask God to give you eternal life. Come. Nothing matters but that you deal with your sin. You've been busted. We've all been busted. This preacher's been busted. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The devil's been busted. Jesus has given his life and his blood and his soul, his death on the cross of Calvary, and he's risen again from the grave. We need Jesus in our life. If you're in this room right now and you need healing for your body, you come. We'll take oil. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray for healing in your body today. If you need a healing in your life today, we'll call the elders of the church. We'll take oil, anoint you with oil, and we'll pray the prayer of faith, the Lord to touch and heal your body. Altars are open. You come as they play.
Word can wash away my sins. Nothing
quickly. Nothing but the blood of
Jesus. Word can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the blood that makes me.
How about it? Are you sure? Are you sure you're born again? God loves you very much. He wants to save you.
Oh, my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing else can wash away your sin. Nothing can make you whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Brother
Jack, would you come? Some of the men help us. Ladies, you come too. Pray for healing for April. Anybody else need healing this morning?
No water.
Altars are open, available for you to come and talk to the Lord. A place for you to come and pray. A place for you to come and call upon the name of Jesus. Ask God to come into your life. Save your soul.
None of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is
my God's a wonderful God.
That makes
he can and does heal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We praise your wonderful name. God, we give you glory. Now, if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure you're born again, the getting sure place is right up here. If you haven't dealt with your sin, God doesn't want to condemn you. Your sin already has done that. Jesus doesn't condemn. That's already been done. It's a finished thing. We need the forgiveness of God in our life. We need God's blood. We need the death of Jesus to be a propitiation for our sin. Thank you,
Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Wonderful God.
Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow.
What an awesome God we serve. How about it? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure you're ready to go to heaven? Have you dealt with your sin? Have you reached a place where nothing matters? Nothing matters in life except to know that your sins are forgiven. That you're going to heaven because of the goodness of God, the mercy of God. You should not perish. You should not perish.
Oh, precious is
Brother Jack, would you pray for Sister Marie? Hallelujah. Stretch your hands this way. Let's believe, Lord, for healing too. Father, we know that you're a healing God. We know, God, that you heal and you're a mighty God to save. Lord, we ask that you give Marie strength in her body. We ask, God, that you give her strength in her body. We ask, Lord, that you heal her completely. Lord, she's your child. She's your child. She's a saint of the Lord. God, we lift her up right now and ask that you bless her. Touch her life. Bring healing to her body. God, we ask it in Jesus' name. God, you're a mighty God, and we are asking you to heal both April and Marie, Lord. We're asking you to bless, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus,
thank you, Jesus, for touching Marie, blessing her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I will ever love and trust Him.
What a wonderful God we have. For your body. You come, we'll take